Okay, and we're back with another thing. So right. We'll just take a, we won't be screaming at the purists now. even though it's so much fun, because they just piss me off so much. But so you know, I for anybody who's listening and who was following what was happening in January, you know, I had to you moved to Maryland, yep. And I live in Northern California, so you have three cats. You traveled with your older cat Samantha, yes. Brought her back to Maryland, and then because I have a cat who likes to pee when other cats are around. Little Simon and Jezzy, your other kitties who I love so much, had to be boarded for a couple of days, which killed me. I hated it. And then I picked them up and then brought them to spend the night in a pet-friendly hotel in San Francisco. And then I had to drop them off at Cargo so that yes. they could be shipped over to you, which was...
A big shout out to United Cargo. They have a pet-safe program. Anybody that's got a shipping animal, they did a very, very, very good job. I highly recommend them if you've got animals to ship and you don't know what to do. United Air Cargo.
Just don't dress your female cats in leggings. I don't know if they'll let them on.
That's true.
Yeah, no, they really did a good job. And it was awful for me because it happened to be the inauguration. So it was happening, you know, and it was raining. And, yes. You know, I hate freaking being in the rain and the car and everything. And I had to drop them off in the rain. It was just awful. I hated it. And I came home and I just pretty much stayed in bed all day, like praying. And I'm not religious, but I was just praying for their safety and everything. But now they're all happy and everybody's happy and they're all home and they're all safe. So I'm just so relieved. I was so relieved when you told me I'm home. I've got them and they're home and everybody's safe. So, yes. Just tell us a little bit about your experience so far. And you know, I mean, you were born in Maryland and then you moved to California in 1977. So then all these years later, you're back in Maryland.
Yeah. I never thought that would happen, but you know,
but there you are,
but here I am. And actually, I like it. I live in a different part of Maryland from where I grew up. I grew up in Baltimore City. Mm-hmm. And, now I'm living out more in the northwestern part of the state, mm-hmm. About 50 miles away from Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. I will say this about Kimberly's father, my ex-husband. We haven't been married for a long time, but he and his wife were extremely gracious to me because when I sold my place in Northern California, I had to come and find a place here. They let me stay with them. How many wives let the ex-wife stay?
Yeah.
And I stayed with them for a week and a half. When I moved into this place, obviously my furniture wasn't here yet. My ex showed up. He brought me a memory foam mattress. He brought me lamps, a table, chairs. He bought two litter boxes and litter and trash bags and paper plates and plastic cups.
Yeah, there's like a table.
He just did everything.
Yeah.
So, you know, to help me get through the move. So it was just really did warm the cockles of my heart.
Well, and I think that he would have helped you no matter what, but it was also because I haven't made this official announcement yet, and I will at least on this part. I'll be moving back there.
So
there was also a motivation to help
her away when she was just 9 years old. And so now she'll be coming back and
he can't wait.
He can't wait.
And I think that I think by helping you, not only what I, like I said, I think he would have helped you no matter what, but I think it makes it more real for him that you're here and he's helping you. He's busily helping you. Meaning I'm, and of course, as soon as you were kind of settled, he's like, so, when are you moving? And I'm like, I told you, Dad, next year. He wants to hurry it up.
I know. He asked me that from time. He's asked me that about 4 or 5 times. March, next March. Still the same.
So, so what is it that you like about it?
I tell you the one thing that I really, really like about where I live. I mean, where I live is just a normal kind of little neighborhood. It's townhouses. where I live. It's a, you know, it's a development that has, you know, townhouses, condominiums, and then, you know, just freestanding homes as well. So I live in a neighborhood that it's predominantly young couples with kids. Mm-hmm. First of all, I'm really excited about Halloween because it's been decades since I've had trick-or-treaters.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, I'm going to be Mother Nature because I have that costume that I wore to Mardi yeah. Gras. Uh-huh. Okay. Where I was the goddess of wine.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I can pass for Mother Nature in that, even though it's going to be a real, it's big because I've lost weight since then. But I like that. Another thing that I really like is, and it's something that I missed when I was when I was up there in wine country, there was so little diversity in wine country. Mm-hmm. The street that I live on is just packed with diversity. There are African-American people here. There are Muslim people here. And I don't know, there's something that warms my heart when I hear these kids outside playing and I look and I see all these different kids and they're all playing together. Okay. And it tells me that they are growing up in a world where they're not going to look at somebody and dislike them just because maybe somebody is Muslim or that girl's mm-hmm. wearing a hijab or that the color of somebody's skin is different. There's a lot of diversity here and I really like that. Plus my next door neighbors, how nice is this? I mean, it's a young couple. I guess they look like they're probably in their 30s. They've got three kids. Their oldest is 5 years old. It's a little boy. His name is George. And the reason I know that is because my doorbell rang one day and there was this little boy, cute as a button, standing there. And he gives me a card. It's a handmade card and it says, welcome.
Oh.
The people next door introduced themselves if you ever need anything. And they gave me their phone numbers.
Wow.
I mean, that was just the sweetest thing.
Yeah.
So of course I said, George, come with me. And I brought him upstairs and I wrote a note back. And I said, if you ever need anything, you can call me.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I mean, it's a real neighborhood, which mm-hmm. is something that I have not lived in really in a long time. I mean, I've lived in condo projects. I lived in Arizona for a little under 5 years, right in the middle of Arizona. And I did know my next door neighbor, but really, truly, I didn't, you know, it wasn't really a neighborhood. Mm-hmm. It's not where neighbors talked to each other and helped each other. Now, for instance, we had this snowstorm recently, and I went out and bought a snowblower. It's a long story, but I bought gas, but I neglected to buy oil for the thing, so I couldn't use it when I went out, because when I was reading the instruction, it's like, oh, I forgot to buy oil, and so now I have to go shovel the damn walk. You know, I have a driveway, and I have to shovel in front of the walk. So luckily, the previous owners left a snow shovel in the shed out back. So I went and I started, and I'm about halfway down the driveway, and here comes this young boy. I guess he's about 11 or 12 years old. He told me his name was Colin, and he offered to help me. And I said, you know, I couldn't pay him. He goes, oh, that's okay. And I said, well, geez, Colin, you do this for fun? He goes, yeah. So wow. He was helping me. And then from down the street, a guy came up. I guess he was about in his 30s. He was a German gentleman. And he said, would you like some help? And so Colin and he helped me finish shoveling the sidewalk and the driveway. So, and everybody was out there helping each other. So it really is a neighborhood. And I like that. I like the proximity to Washington, D.C. I like the proximity particularly to it's only about a 15-minute drive for me to get to the metro to mm-hmm. get into Washington, because I would not drive into Washington.
Yeah.
It's crazy. The metro is the way to go. So and actually the weather here, except for that one snowstorm, which actually was fun for me.
You're going to have humidity and that's not going to be fun. And bugs.
Yeah, well, you know, no, that won't be fun.
I'm not looking forward to the humidity. I think I'll be able to handle the snow.
Swimming pools, so I don't care.
Yeah.
And I have air conditioning. So, yeah. You know.
Well, yeah. But and the fortunately, you work from home.
Garden patch, and I'm going to have an herb garden and flower pots. And, you know,
yeah.
Of course, I have a brown thumb. So who the hell knows how that's going to work out. But I am excited about it. And I am excited once I, because I'm in the midst of doing a lot of things for the house. and a lot of projects. But, you know, I'm excited to get back to writing. I'm not full time on writing yet. But by this summer, everything should be finished.
Yeah.
And the play should be just the way I want it. So, and that's when I'll go full steam ahead.
And then I know you were, before you left, you were working on a book.
I was working on a book, and it's still there in my Scrivener.
Your writing online writing program.
Yes. Scrivener. Well, Scrivener. It's not an online writing program. I bought it. Scrivener. If you're out there as a writer, I highly recommend Scrivener, and it's cheap. It's only $45. At least it was when I bought it.
Spell it.
Scrivener is Scrivener. Scrivener.
V as in Victor.
V as in Victor. Yeah. Yeah.
I from what you've told me, there's a bit of a learning curve, but...
Oh, yeah, there is a bit of a learning curve. And if you're away from it too long, as I have been, I'm going to have to do a little bit of learning again. But
it's like...
They have a whole thing, okay? So you do have to take the time to go through it. But it really is a very, very valuable resource for writers.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I mean, it makes me feel... You know, I'm still in wine country, and while I will always appreciate the beauty... And the weather. I don't think there is another place on earth that has weather as great as we have it here. I mean, it's just so
awesome.
That's
true.
It's going to be really
weather I have ever experienced.
Especially because during the hottest summer months, it can be three digits here, and then around 5 o'clock, it drops to, you know, like maybe 70 or 80, and then by the time it's you go to sleep, it's like in the 60s.
Yeah,
so
and sometimes
it's
even
wonderful.
Dips down into the 50s.
Yeah, it's so, like the best.
It is. It's the best weather ever.
But,
and, you know, and it's funny because when I'm, you know, when I'm talking to people here, what, do you move here for the weather?
I know.
It's like, no. But, you know, I know people here. I still have, you know, most of my family is gone. They're departed. But I still have a sister here and I still have a niece here. And I'm excited because... like my niece, she has a son who actually is he's just finishing up his master's program at Washington University in Missouri, and he has secured a position with NASA. And I have not seen him since he was 12 years old when I went to visit in Spain. So I'll actually get to see him.
Yeah, I will too, because I haven't seen him since he was a little boy.
Yeah, a little boy, just a tot. And then another thing that is exciting is I have another nephew who lives in Paris, and he has a son who you have met that one time, and I've only met Simon is his name a couple of times. And he comes and he brings his son Simon with him every so often to the States. I know he won't be coming this year, but I know he's planning to come next year. And so that way I'll be able to see him because I haven't seen him for a good 10 years.
Yeah.
I saw him in 2007 when my mother died and he was there.
Before we start to run.
So yeah, it has been 10 years because it's 2017. It was July of 2007. But so 9.5 years.
Before we wrap up, why don't you tell that story of what Simon said to you when you were in Paris? First of all, wait, I just want to say this. I think Simon was probably the cutest little boy I'd ever seen in my whole life.
I know, he's just the most adorable
thing.
He's
older now,
but he
was just unbelievably gorgeous.
I mean, his father was adorable when he was a little boy, but I even told him, I said, man, your son, he's taken the crown from you. Cutest kid ever. So at any rate, so my nephew, his name is Dick. We get there and I get there and so I spent a lot of time with him and Simon and we would go places and stuff. And so he told Simon, he said, now, Simon, you know how to speak English. He said, and your Aunt Anne doesn't speak French, so you speak English for her. Well, Simon just completely ignored it, right? So
and how old
then,
was he? How old was Simon? How old was Simon at the time?
He was 3, I think.
Okay.
He was 3. And so now Simon's mother, Valerie, has invited me over to dinner. So I go over there, and so Dick and Valerie are in the kitchen and they're getting dinner ready. And Simon is running back and forth in from his bedroom into the living room, and he's bringing me all the toys that he's got, and he's showing me, and he's got this long running commentary, and it's all in French. And he's just jabbering a mile a minute. So I, you know, I said the only thing I really knew how to say in French. I went, Simon, je ne parle pas français, means I don't speak French. And he just looked at me and he goes, well, that's too bad. I almost fell off.
I love little smart-ass kids.
Yes, he is. You can tell that he has roots in the family that I came from. Yes. So.
We're all smart-ass, sarcastic ones. Anyway, all right, we're going to wrap it up. So check out arcstories.com. And Anne writes a bunch of fiction books. We also have books out together, The Virgin Diaries, and a couple other books that are nonfiction. So you could take a look at all those.
And don't forget American Woman. Even though it was written a couple years ago, it still is very, very apropos in today's political climate. And of course, Peyton's Choice, Kimberly's
yes, my big old abortion book.
Into fiction. Okay. And it's a really, really good book. And I highly recommend you take a look at it.
But anybody reading it, don't expect it to be 200 pages about an abortion. The abortion doesn't even come till like towards the end of two-thirds in, so it's not only about abortion.
It's a teenage romance, but there is a message, and the message is do what's right for you.
Yeah, it's all about choice.
It's all
about her choice as to why she decided to choose abortion. So
exactly. She doesn't have the abortion on the first page. First, she has to meet the guy. First, you have to know who these people are. I don't know. It's called telling a story.
I know. Some people are a little impatient, and they are like, well, I was disappointed that there wasn't the whole book wasn't about an abortion. It's like, well, get over it.
Okay. So. Her next book, she's just going to write abortion, abortion, abortion.
I know. All right. Well, thank you so much once again for joining me. And thank you
so much once again for having me. It's fun.
Cool. Well, all right. Until next time.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. Bye, everybody.
Bye.